with us and hanging out. It's a big time week, Caleb. We're coming up on the playoff time. We're here.
I know. I'm ready. March Madness is over, and now we're about to get to where the big boys play.
Oh yeah. Rubber's Rubber's about to meet the road in the NBA. Big time coming up this weekend. Got the opening round of the playoffs starting. We are super excited to talk all about it. We're going to give some playoff predictions. We're going to talk a little bit about the end of season awards, MVP race, if you can call it a race. But yeah, we're going to get into all that stuff. But I was watching TV today, and they were talking about a little bit about these playoff matchups and stuff. Some of these ESPN daytime shows are a little bit goofy, but they were talking about the Miami defense, which at first I was like, they said Miami defense, and I was like, yeah, I guess they got a pretty good defense. I mean, they're well coached. They got Whiteside protecting the rim, you know, like they're a strong defensive team. And then, but they went into it a little bit, and this is a term I've never heard before, but Miami defense, as in the nightlife and kind of all the things in Miami that distract you during a series, which I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. And, you know, the funny part is, like, that's actually, you know, it's got some credibility to it. Like,
yeah, it's a little accurate.
It's definitely. I mean, you go, if you're some team coming from Minnesota or I don't know,
one of those bad cities we talked about a few weeks ago,
Utah, and then you come down to South Beach, and you're in Miami, there's clubs, there's the nightlife,
the beach,
great weather. That can be a distraction. And how, like, if you're coming from Utah or, like I said earlier, Minnesota or wherever, how could you not want to at least, you know, just check it out?
Exactly. I mean, you're an NBA player. You're throwing around plenty of money. I mean, yeah, you can go out, do whatever you want while you're in the city. I mean, I can see it. I get the whole Miami defense, but I just thought that was so funny. They were just the way they were talking about it. But that's a pretty good, like, that's kind of a decent home court advantage, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
That's a nice little... That's another perk to living in Miami and being on the Miami Heat. Like, you got that little perk. And when teams got to show up in your town to play, especially for a playoff series, for an extended stay.
Yeah,
that's a nice little home court advantage, don't you think?
Yeah, that's a factor that other teams probably don't factor in a lot. And I mean, you can't really tell a grown man who pays bills to be like, hey, you're not going to the beach today. Or
yeah, I mean, the coach can say it, but
he can recommend, he can suggest, but at the end of the day, I mean, these are grown men, and if they want to go to the beach, they're going to go to the beach. Now, how long they stay there and what they do, you know, I'll just leave that up to the audience's interpretation. But yeah, that's a factor that you don't really think about. You got
to be disciplined.
Yeah.
I mean, and they might be looking at a series against Philly. So, and Philly's got a lot of young players. Like, I see this as a relevant playoff factor, totally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Philly's a really young team, so.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, Ben Simmons and Bede, they get down there. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, up in Philadelphia, it's a little chilly over there. Come down to Miami Beach.
It's good weather, smooth weather right
good
now.
Good weather, so. Shorts and a t-shirt. It's tempting.
Exactly. So, and speaking of home court advantages, since we're getting into this playoff talk, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about what you think of as the best home court advantage in the league, particularly pertaining to the playoffs. I'm wondering, like, which city and, like, which team you think really brings that home court advantage. I mean, you and me are probably going to be both. I'm probably likely to say San Antonio. You're pretty likely to say Oklahoma City, but I'm wondering who you think is in the mix there, at least.
Obviously, OKC is in the mix. OKC is in the mix just because, like, that's literally the only major sport that they have.
Yep, same in San Antonio. I mean, Spurs are biggest game in town always.
Yeah, because there's no football team, there's no baseball team, there's no hockey team. The only professional team they have is the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I think the fans are obviously well devoted and definitely that home court advantage definitely helps the players. Also, Golden State, just
they're always pretty loud.
When anybody hits a three in that arena, it just erupts.
Yeah,
it erupts, and you can see that the players feed off of it, and it's amazing I wouldn't say a few fans, a lot of fans just yelling at the top of their lungs can affect the way players play.
Yeah, and I know in Oakland they've been known for having good fans for a while. I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, probably across the country bandwagon the Warriors a little bit, mm-hmm. To a certain extent, but Oakland has been known, and Oracle has been known to have good crowds over the years, even before the Warriors were who they were in this era.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good choice. They've got a good crowd. And there's a lot of, I mean, Eastern Conference, you got Boston.
Yeah,
Boston's always well. I mean, they definitely, their fans bring it. They've got a passionate fan base.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who else in the East necessarily rivals that. Cleveland's okay.
Yeah, I feel like Cleveland's got a pretty good base. Anytime LeBron dunks, they're just like,
yeah.
Oh.
They've got a pretty decent crowd.
Yeah.
I
feel like Philly's growing a little bit too now.
Yeah.
Because obviously their recent success. I think they just got over like 50 wins for the first time since like 2001.
Literally,
which
yeah.
Is ridiculous.
Since they made the finals with Iverson.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was shocked at that a little bit too. I mean, that's almost 20 years since they've had 50 wins.
Yeah, it's a long time.
That's crazy. Yeah, and they're on. They're riding a 15-game winning streak right now, which is
ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, for home court advantage, I really do. I genuinely believe with all my heart that San Antonio has the best fans in the league. I've said it time and time again. I'm entirely biased, but I mean, having been there, and I was lucky enough to go to the finals in 2013 and 2014 when they went.
Nice.
Yeah, that's one of the best things I've ever done, but. And I went to the playoffs several years, and I mean, it's just, to me, it's the best environment. I love it. But who I would put right up there, and who I always say, like, I think, like, to me, the best fans in the league are San Antonio and Portland. I feel like Portland's fans are a little bit underplayed, and I feel like for Trailblazers games, they always have a good crowd. They're always loud. Mm-hmm. And the Blazers haven't necessarily been. I mean, San Antonio has had a ton of success, championship level success. Blazers haven't necessarily had. They've had good teams, and they've been relevant.
Oh,
they've been in the playoffs. They've got Lillard, but they really. I mean, year in, year out, regular season, playoffs. The Portland, they really show out for their team, and they're another one of those teams that doesn't have another pro sport. They have MLS. They have soccer, but they don't have the NFL. They don't have the MLB in town. Blazers mm-hmm. are kind of the biggest thing there. So I feel like a lot of those markets with the one major sports team, those are some of the best.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, I feel like it's like they have one thing to cheer for. So it's just like all their energy, time, when it comes to sports, is just like devoted to that one sports team. Like, obviously in Dallas has pretty much every sports team there.
Yeah, it's there huge,
can be.
Yeah.
And I mean, not to say that like the fan base isn't crazy or anything like that, because they're an amazing fan base. But in comparison to other fan bases, probably like Utah,
mm-hmm.
I feel like they probably have a really good fan base. Also, seeing as I believe that's the only sports team they have there.
Yeah, I mean that's the only pro. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like you only have one thing to look forward to, and you just devote all your energy to that one sports team. So, yeah, it's crazy how. A bunch of fans can make a difference in a game.
Definitely. And I feel like the fans in those towns like San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Portland, they really, Utah and Salt Lake City and Utah, like they genuinely take ownership over their team, especially when mm-hmm. it's one team like that. I feel like a city can unite behind that, and they take a lot of ownership over that team, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a cool aspect. So kind of rolling over off that into a little playoff talk, I'm wondering who do you think might be in line for a first round upset? I mean, out east, I feel like this is just me, but out east, I feel like it is a dangerous, dangerous first round for the upper seeds. And the way it is right now, you know, and things could shift around a little bit, especially towards the bottom of the conference. But right now you would have Toronto and Washington, Boston and Milwaukee, Philly as the third seed against Miami, and then Cleveland and Indiana in the middle. And I feel like a lot of those matchups are close calls.
Yeah, definitely. I would not be surprised if the standings stay as they currently are, if assuming John Wall stays healthy, I would not be surprised if the Washington Wizards beat the Toronto Raptors.
Wizards and Raptors is going to be a real series, one versus eight.
Yeah, they match up pretty well at all positions, I believe, from the point guards. I mean, John Wall's a better point guard than Kyle Lowry, in my opinion. Bradley Beal's a scoring machine. DeMar DeRozan's a scoring machine. Then you got Gortat and Valanciunas, both big men, well over 6'10", I believe. Both teams are not that great experience, I guess, playoff-wise, or haven't had that much playoff success, unless you count the Raptors in recent history, I guess. But yeah, but I would not be surprised if I saw the Raptors lose. I also wouldn't be surprised if because the Celtics don't have Kyrie or Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
So I think Giannis and the Bucks should beat. I expect them to beat the Celtics.
So you think Milwaukee's a favorite at this point with Boston with no Kyrie?
Yeah, I do. I don't see anyone stopping Giannis.
Yeah.
At all.
That's pretty fair. I mean, I feel like Boston, They're you can always count on them to be prepared. They're super well coached by Brad Stevens. Like I can never give really enough praise to Brad Stevens. He's one of the younger coaches in the league, but he's brought a level of preparation and an expectation that their team is going to show up defensively to every season and every playoff series since he's been in Boston. But this has turned into a little bit more of a faceless Boston team than we would have expected this season. It's a little bit more like the teams in years past, or even like when IT went down in the playoffs last year. And they're kind of left without a starter. They still have Al Horford. And other than that, it's a super young core of guys. Marcus Smart may not even be back, but they're going to have, I mean, assuming they stay healthy, they're going to have Jaylen Brown. They're going to have Jason Tatum still. And those are good young players, but we'll see if they're able to step up to the plate in the playoffs. I think it could come down to a 6 or 7 game series with Milwaukee. But I would agree that as long as Jabari Parker stays healthy, if Giannis is healthy, I think I would agree. I think I would take Milwaukee in 7. I think I like Milwaukee in 7 to win that series if that matchup ends up happening.
Yeah, I agree with you. My problem with the Celtics is, even with Kyrie there, they're already offensively challenged. It was Kyrie.
He was having to make a lot of plays.
Yeah, he was scoring pretty. That's why I probably had him in my MVP running, because he was doing a lot. And knowing night in, night out, teams knew like this was the guy that was going to bring the bulk of their scoring, and he still was able to put up 25 a game, which is ridiculous. And now he's gone.
Yeah, so that was a big shot. And side note, that was a big shot to the playoffs for me, like the playoff intrigue of the East. I feel like some of these first round matchups are going to be good and everything. I know we've talked about on here before, like I was so much looking forward to the potential of Kyrie and LeBron matching up.
Yes,
and
Kyrie versus LeBron.
Boston just looked so ready, especially early on in the season. They looked like such an improved team with Kyrie leading the way, kind of, and I was so ready for that matchup, and that took the steam out of me so much. I was so sad to see Kyrie go down just because of that. I really wanted that matchup to happen between Boston and Cleveland this year. Now it would be a lot less interesting.
Yeah, I know. Their number one option is Jason Tatum.
Yeah, and I was going to say, to me, Jason Tatum is the X factor of that series. If he's really had an impressive rookie season. He's impressed me with his all-around game. His shooting is far beyond where I thought it would be at this point. And if he shows up at playoff time and he, you know, turns out to be one of those crunch time players, the type of player that turns it on when the lights are the brightest, I think Boston will still have a good chance to win that series because of their team play, defensive play. But they need Tatum and Jaylen Brown to really, really step up to the plate if they're going to be able to win that series.
Yeah, and I mean, again, they're really young players, so I don't expect them to necessarily rise to the occasion, but I also wouldn't be surprised because of their play this season. Obviously, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have showed they're totally capable of, obviously hitting clutch shots or getting buckets when needed. But Milwaukee's more of a complete team, and I see them
I just see them winning. I mean, it's hard, but yeah.
I agree. I think it's going to be a close series. And I like Milwaukee in seven, and they've got that experience factor on their side a little bit at this point. Guys like Giannis and Chris Middleton have been through a couple of times. They've been in the playoffs now, and they have a little bit of that experience behind them, and not to mention some of their veterans like Eric Bledsoe, Jason Terry have quite a bit of playoff experience. So with that, I kind of expect them to win. But I'm especially wondering, too, what you think about a potential Miami and Philly series. I know you're all the way for – you're all the way with it, Ben Simmons and everything.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid could potentially be returning right around the start of that series. I know his health is going to play a major factor in the series. But and Philly's rolling right now. But Miami, again, a well-coached team, a team that plays well defensively, plays as a unit. Hassan Whiteside is back and healthy. I'm curious what you think about that series.
I think it will be a good matchup, obviously. As you said, Hassan Whiteside, Josh Richardson, Justin Winslow, they got guys that are willing to play defense. And Hassan Whiteside is pretty much unstoppable. I don't want to say he's unstoppable, but like he's going to get his.
Yeah.
He's going to get the guy's just too big.
Him versus Embiid is always, they've trolled each other on Twitter in the past. They're always interesting trash talk. I would love for that to take place, Whiteside versus Embiid for an entire series. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would be a fun dynamic, them going back at each other. just because Embiid, probably one of the better trollers in the NBA.
He's established himself, absolutely.
but yeah, that would be a great matchup. I think I'm going to take Philly. Assuming Embiid comes back healthy and is able to play at the level he was before he had his face contusion. But I'm going to take Philly. They're one of the better defensive teams in the league because they got a lot of defenders and they got two guys over 7 foot guarding the rim, so it's pretty hard to get to the lane. They got snipers all over the place. They added Marco Bellinelli recently.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of his. He's a good player to have at playoff time. He's a really good scorer and just a savvy player. But they've got him and JJ Redick. That's a big playoff experience.
Yeah, as you said, they both have been to the playoffs multiple times. They understand the atmosphere of a playoff game between a regular season game, and they know what they have to do to win games. They're being coached by, I believe the coach, I don't know his name.
Oh, Brett Brown.
I believe he's a Greg Popovich disciple.
He's off the Pop tree, definitely.
Yeah, off the Pop tree. So he's been learning from, in my opinion, the greatest coach ever. And obviously, it's come to fruition with their 50-win season so far. They're on a 16-game, 14, 15?
I think it's 15. I think we're at 15.
Yeah, 15-game winning streak. My only thing that's making me hesitant is their main players, obviously Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, have never been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So how do they adjust to the playoff type of play? Because in the playoffs are definitely different than the regular season. The way they match up, the way they coaches scheme, they take away what you do best. How are you able to adapt to those situations? I mean, I don't know. I have faith in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid because they've shown me no reason to not have faith in them.
Right.
Because they've been dominating. But I think that would be a really good matchup. But I'm gonna take the Sixers. I'm going to take them in, I want to say six, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I might go to seven.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to agree with that because, and I'll say this, I think if it gets to seven, even though Philly's going to have home court, I think if it gets to seven, I'm going to take Miami's experience. I think the weight of a game seven, Eric Spoelstra's coaching experience and a number of enormous playoff games, and their guys like Goran Dragic and kind of a more experienced cast of characters in Miami, I would expect them to be able to get it done in a game seven. But I think Philly's team is a little bit too talented, and I think they might overwhelm Miami a little bit. And Whiteside is going to be a good matchup for Joel Embiid. He may not be able to be as dominant scoring, but it's going to be difficult for Miami to stop Ben Simmons. And if Ben Simmons is able to get in the lane, distribute the way he does to shooters, I think the Sixers are going to have the advantage. I'm going to take the Sixers in six games. But like I said, if it gets drawn out to a seventh game and all that pressure is there, I'm not confident that the Sixers are going to be able to come through. So I do. I like the Sixers to win that series, but over in the Western Conference, the matchups are it's very fuzzy right now. I mean, we've got several teams at the bottom that are tied, and a potential shift with Minnesota in the eighth spot right as of right now. They're tied in record with Denver, but I'm curious. We've got, let's see, as of right now, it would be Houston and Minnesota, Golden State and Oklahoma City, which I would love to watch. I've said I would love to see that series at any point in the playoffs. I'll take it in the first round, whatever it is. I know you may have a different opinion, but we'll get to that. But and it would be Portland and San Antonio, and the 4-5 matchup would be the Pelicans and the Jazz, with the Jazz having home court. I'm going to say straight off, I do have confidence that the Spurs can beat Portland as long as the rest of the roster is healthy, obviously excluding Kawhi Leonard. I feel like as long as we have as long as we've got Manu, Tony healthy, Powell, Rudy Gay, everyone going into it healthy, I feel good about their ability to beat Portland. We've had their number a little bit in the past. Mm-hmm. I still feel good about San Antonio's ability to cause an upset there. I'm wondering what you think about that series, what you think about Oklahoma City, Golden State, just whatever you think is interesting in the West.
I'll take the Spurs-Portland series first. I agree with you. I'm just going to take Spurs because, I mean, Pop's coaching them. Pop's the GOAT, man. Pop's the GOAT. With assuming there's a healthy team, I believe they can stop the Blazers because the Blazers are heavily dependent on their backcourt to win. I mean, if those guys don't give you 20 apiece or 25 apiece or whatever, it's usually tough for them to make those games competitive. And credit to Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, they're pretty consistent in giving their team about 50 together. So but I believe Pop will find a way to, you know, get in their head and, you know, distract, make things a little bit more difficult for those guys. Because they can score from all areas on the court, but Pop, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and it gets difficult when you rely that heavily on those two guys. It gets super difficult at playoff time. Mm-hmm. Like when a team is looking to take away what you do best, like I'm sure the Spurs will do. I mean, mm-hmm. it gets really, really difficult at playoff time, especially running half court offense. It's hard for Lillard and McCollum to consistently have to shoulder that weight of the scoring for them.
Yeah, and then they can't play that much on the defensive side.
So. Yeah, I mean, that's just a heavy, heavy burden on their shoulders for the Blazers.
Yeah, and I know Pop will throw a variety of defenders at them.
Of course.
DeJounte Murray, and then he'll get someone long, maybe like Rudy Gay.
Yeah.
With long arms, taller than them, just to get in their head and mess them up and not know exactly what's coming, make things unpredictable. So, yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to take Pop. In that game, probably in six. I mean, I think y'all handle it pretty fairly. I don't think it'll be too difficult unless Damian and CJ just have the games of their lives consistently,
yeah.
Which I don't believe will happen. But, I mean, you never know. It's the NBA. On the other hand, as you said, the standings, if they stay like they are in the playoffs, the Oklahoma City Thunder would play the Golden State Warriors in the first round, which I don't want that to happen.
No,
I really don't want that to happen.
I purely don't. Since OKC is your squad, I don't blame you a bit there.
I don't want to see. I mean, y'all know me. I'm a KD fan, so I do find myself cheering for the success of the Golden State Warriors, more so just for KD, not for the team. And I am a Russell Westbrook fan, so I'm cheering for OKC, obviously, too, for their success. And I don't want to see either of those teams knocked down the first round. Call me biased or whatever, not being objective or whatnot. I don't want to see either of my guys get knocked out in the first round, especially if they're going up against each other. But if they do, assuming Steph Curry is not going to play the first round, and it's just Klay, Draymond, and Steph, or, you know, Klay, Draymond, and Klay. Klay,
Draymond, KD.
And KD.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't talk. Yeah, assuming it's just those three guys, those three all-stars, and half their bench, I believe, is gone also through injuries for the Warriors. And assuming, I know Russ is going to give him what he's going to give him. He's going to get his. But assuming Paul George and Carmelo show up and play efficiently, I'd probably take OKC.
That's super bold.
Russ, when he plays that team, man, is, I know he says he gives 110% every night, and he does, but when he plays that team, he just goes off.
It is a little extra fire. I think that'll be the most, to me, if that happens in the first round, that'll definitely be the most entertaining first round series. And I think it would be very, very competitive. I know they're not expecting Curry to come back during the first round, which would probably make it even more competitive. Mm-hmm. I feel like at the end of the day, I would still take Golden State. I just, with all the experience they have, and they do, I mean, they still have a talented roster. And Oklahoma City, I mean, they've got talent. If Paul George is able to find it at playoff time, and if Carmelo is able to find it a little bit, that is going to be a really tough task for Golden State, definitely. I feel like I'll take Golden State in six. But that's a tough matchup, definitely.
Yeah, that is going to be an exciting matchup. I really hope that somehow OKC can move to the sixth seed or the fifth seed.
Right,
I just really do not want them to play each other.
I don't want San Antonio to get Golden State for the record either.
That's true. Yeah. I just don't want to see that. You know, I want to see if that happens in the second round, or God willing, it happens in the Western Conference Finals. Then I'm fine with that. But in the first round, two of those teams, that KD Russ dynamic, I don't want to see that in the first round. That's just too exciting for that to be a first round matchup.
Yeah, I know that's a lot for you, and yeah, that would be a lot to talk about. Definitely, if it happens for a first round matchup. So a lot of these. It's going to be a ton of interesting stuff over the weekend. Saturday, Sunday, we're getting underway with the playoffs. We'll definitely have a ton more to talk about next week with the first-round matchups being underway. And as we got a few minutes here, I'm interested to talk to you a little bit about postseason awards. Headlined by the MVP, I know people are thinking James Harden is a semi-shoe-in to get it. You got a hot take on that? You think, I mean, you like Harden, LeBron? What do you think?
I'm all over the place with this MVP race. If I'm a betting man, I believe Harden is going to win it just because he's been putting up crazy numbers for the last 3 years, and he just hasn't. He's always been, someone's always gotten it over him, so I feel like people are like, he should have won it. Let's give it to him. And if he gets it, I won't be like, oh, this is outrageous. He shouldn't have the award. I mean, he's 30.6, 5 rebounds and like 8.8 assists. He's third in the league in assists, only behind Russ and LeBron. So I wouldn't be mad if he gets it. Also wouldn't be mad if LeBron got it, even though I'm not the biggest LeBron fan.
There's a lot of people. I mean, there's a whole train of thought that says LeBron's the MVP of the NBA every year.
That is true,
There's a lot of people who genuinely believe that. I think LeBron believes that himself.
Obviously.
I mean, that's definitely a certain train of thought. I still kind of buy into... I think the MVP is... I mean, it's based on the specific season, and I do think LeBron James is the best player in the world. I mean, I think most people believe that, but the regular season James Harden has put together, along with the regular season success that the Rockets have had, and Cleveland is just, it's been such a, and LeBron is, he's on pace to play all 82 games for the first time in his career, which I think is in his 15th season, which is a pretty, that's something pretty outstanding that should be mentioned. But there's just been a, as usual, and probably more so than ever, there's been so much turmoil in Cleveland, and they've had such a difficult regular season. They're probably going to be the fourth seed, as opposed to the Rockets, who have had the most dominating season in the league. James Harden has had a very dominant season individually. So I do expect it to be him, and I would probably vote for him as well. Mm-hmm. But I do, one interesting point to make about your boy Westbrook, too, is that he is probably going to come up a little bit short of averaging a triple-double. I think he needs like 34 rebounds in the last two games, which is a little bit of a stretch.
He has, right now they're currently playing the Heat, and he had 16 rebounds at half, at the third quarter.
No way.
I'm not lying. He had 16 rebounds.
Oh, my God. So he may not come up short. Steven Adams is just going to feed those rebounds to him.
So he
may not even come up short. But at one point that I was making to a buddy of mine over this weekend was that last season, that was like the only argument that was needed for Westbrook to win the MVP. That was the only point of argument, was that he was going to average a triple-double.
Yeah.
And that was all that was needed. And he was at the end of the season, he was the expected MVP, just like Harden is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to come very close. He's probably going to average right at 10 rebounds, or if he falls a little short, he might be at 9.9, 9.8, whatever. But that's just kind of my point there, though. Like, and there's no one is saying Westbrook this year. I don't expect him, I mean, to really be maybe even in the top five of the conversation at the end of the day. But
most people had him in his honorable, like in the honorable mention sections when I was looking it up. So, yeah, he wasn't even in the, yeah.
That's just something, that's just weird to me. It's just weird because he's either going to come so close or he's going to average a triple-double again. But so to run through a couple of the other awards real quick, for coach, I think Quinn Snyder out of Utah, to me, he deserves it because they had such a roster this year that people didn't expect them to make the playoffs. They had a less talented roster with Gordon Hayward leaving. Rudy Gobert was injured for a portion of the season, and I think they've done a really good job as a unit. I think he's doing a good job coaching their team to where they may even have home court in the first round in the West. That's super, super tough. So I would have Quinn Snyder for a coach. What do you think on coach?
I'm going to give it to Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens.
The whole Gordon Hayward being gone for the entire year and then Kyrie playing five or six games and then being gone three or four games and him coming in and out of the lineup and still finding a way to win games. I mean, they're the second seed in the East. They have over 50 wins again. And so I think I give it to Brad Stevens, but I do like that Quinn Snyder pick also.
Yeah, and I actually expect Dwayne Casey of the Raptors. I think he's going to win it.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, just the season they've had and that they locked up the first seed in the East, I feel like he's going to win it. I just don't personally agree with that. I would give mine to Quinn Snyder. As far as Rookie of the Year, we talked about that a little bit last week. We actually talked about it a pretty good amount. I would personally go with Donovan Mitchell. I think it's going to be a close battle between him and Ben Simmons. I feel like it's shifted over to Ben Simmons having the momentum a little bit more here down the stretch. But I would personally give it to Donovan Mitchell. The season he's had straight out of college leading the Jazz to that successful of a season. I know I've given both of these awards to the Jazz so far. I really respect the season they've had. If they come out as the 4 seed in the West in such a tough conference, I would give all the credit in the world and all the respect to what Quinn Snyder has done and what Donovan Mitchell has done as a rookie, basically being their go-to guy. But I know you're a Ben Simmons guy.
Yeah, you already know. I'm going to take Ben. Yeah, the guy's just ridiculous, bro. He's the closest thing I've seen to Magic in a while, I believe. Y'all know him. 16 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists.
Numbers, yeah. I mean, I think for the numbers people, Simmons is definitely going to take it, even though Mitchell's kind of the superior scorer. But all-around numbers, I mean, Simmons definitely puts up the numbers.
Yeah, Donovan, as you said, he's had many games where he's scored. I think he's had like 3 or 4 games with over 40 points. He's averaging right around 20 points right now. I just see Ben as the more complete player, so that's why I'd probably ride with him.
Definitely fair. Most improved player, who you got?
I'm going to take the consensus on this one. He used to be part of OKC, and now he's in Indiana dropping about 26 a game. Wish he could have done that for us.
Yeah, I was going to say this. I feel like there's a little sour tone here.
Yeah.
It was his kind of underwhelming season in Oklahoma City that led him to be able to possibly be the most improved. We're talking Victor Oladipo, obviously, with Indiana. He's had just an all-star season, obviously, for Indiana. And I don't see anyone super close. DeMar DeRozan's in the mix. Mm-hmm. Spencer Dinwiddie, I think, definitely deserves a shout-out. He had a big season for the Nets kind of out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I think he's really somebody that's kind of in the spirit, in the true spirit of the award. He came out of nowhere and had a good season. So I definitely would give a shout-out to Spencer Dinwiddie. But Victor Oladipo boosting himself to that all-star status in Indiana, to me, that's kind of, I think that's the runaway choice.
Yeah, my dark horse, most improved player, I'm going to give it to Steve Adams.
Oh, yeah,
Lived up to his contract.
He has had a pretty big season for Oklahoma City.
So that's a little bit biased, but yeah, I think I'd give it to him.
See, and then defensive player of the year is the last one, and that, to me, it's like, I think it's kind of just, like, Draymond has been out for larger sections of the season. Kawhi has obviously missed almost the entire season. And I feel like it's just a watered-down category this season. I expect Rudy Gobert to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Since he's been in the mix these last few years, he's had about an on-par season with what he generally does. And I expect him to get it. I just, I feel like kind of the air has been taken out of the defensive player award this year, but are you feeling like Rudy's going to get it, or you see someone else?
I see Anthony Davis sneaking in and getting it, actually.
Okay. I think Anthony Davis has a bigger defensive impact than Rudy Gobert. I'm everywhere on who even the defensive player could be. Just, I feel like it's such a watered down category this year, but that's a good choice. I like that, Anthony Davis. Yeah,
I think he'll get it because obviously after DeMarcus Cousins was hurt, he came on and I think he really turned up his defensive play as he's vaulted himself to the lead leaguer in blocks per game now. And total blocks, obviously, also. And, yeah, obviously with DeMarcus Cousins being gone, he's had to take on a larger role for the team, and I think he's lived up to those expectations, especially defensively. So
yeah, and I could see it being kind of a consolation prize, too. He's going to come fairly close in the MVP, as he should. I mean, as good as he was down the stretch these last few months, especially without Cousins, like you said, and still propelling them into the playoff picture in the West, I could see people giving him some defensive player of the year love kind of as a consolation to he's going to come up a little short in the MVP race in all likelihood, but that's a good choice. But I think anyway, that's about all we got this week. Like I said, it's going to be a super big weekend. Make sure and go follow us on Twitter at @BDL_pod. We'll keep you updated on everything Ball Don't Lie. Going to be an enormous weekend. I'm super pumped for it. I'm Cole Pauly.
I'm Caleb Chicana.
And the Ball Don't Lie.